Would you look with me, please, today at John chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 6, moving right along without any review at all today, moving right along with verse 6. We've just read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, which is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is explaining them about he as the shepherd of the sheep, and how the sheep know his voice, and how he knows his sheep. Then in verse 6, he says, this parable. So he was using as an illustration a shepherd and his sheep to explain the relationship between a born-again child of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Well, here is a plain statement. Jesus gave them some precious truths, and they didn't understand it. I'm so glad today that God let me live and be born when I was and where I was. I'm glad for that. I run into a lot of people, and I don't run into too many people that are satisfied with who they are and what they are and where they were born and the condition they're in. But frankly, I am. I am satisfied. I am happy. You say, well, preacher, you're getting old. You're having to cut back a little bit. Your health is not good and as it should be and or you used to be. And preacher, why would you be happy that you're in your 80s? Why would you be happy of that, preacher? Simply because God has been my succor and my sustenance through all these years. He has shown me such wonderful things. And if I had been born back in these days when these scriptures were given, I might not have understood it like those that heard Jesus give this parable. I might not have understood it, but praise God, by living when I did, being born where I was, hearing the gospel as I heard it, even beginning as a child on my mother's knee, I lived in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as being the shepherd of the sheep, and how thankful I am that I do understand this parable. I don't have any problem understanding that Jesus is my shepherd and how he does care for me. And so I'm glad that I lived in the days that I am living in right now. I saw tremendous blessings of God in great revival in the early years of my ministry, and I have seen that fade away into now a trickle of gleanings and making it more difficult to do the work of God than it has been perhaps for many, many centuries. But just the same, I'm glad that I was able to see what I saw, and I can look back now and see what went on then. I can see what's happening now, and it thrills my heart. Oh, not that we're not seeing more souls saved, not that we're void of revival, not that at all, but the fact that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Every way I turn, every event that I look at, every newspaper I pick up, every time I hear a news broadcast, I am made aware that Jesus Christ is coming soon to take his saints home. It is a great comfort to my heart. Oh, it's not a joy to see the wickedness that's going on. It's not a joy to see the homosexuality and the ungodliness like it was in the days of Lot. It's not a joy to see the citizenry of our country and every country just about of the world going after sin and Satan and adultery and filth and iniquity and pornography and ungodliness. It's not a thrill for me to see these things and know that it's happening and that the worlds and the morals of the world and the acts of people are getting worse and worse and worse. That's not a thrill to me, but it does thrill me to know that the Bible has told me that when these things happen like they're happening right now, that Jesus Christ is at the door and we can expect the rapture of the church at any moment. How grateful I am for that today. And then we move on to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again. Now he's repeating the thought and explaining this thing a little bit further to them when he says, verily, verily. Using the same two words that he started this discourse with, verily, verily, he says it again. Listen, 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 truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus made it very clear then that he was the door. Now, a door is an interesting thing, and for him to compare himself to a door makes an interesting illustration. You see, he did not say, I am a door. He did not say unto them, I am one of the doors. He did not say that there are doors and I am one of them. He said, I am the door. The door. That means there is only one door. And then there's something else about a door that I think you need to be reminded of today. Entering into the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, is an instantaneous action. It is not progressive. A door is there. You take one step and you're through the door and on the other side. It is not a matter of lingering in the middle. You are on the outside, you take one step, and you're on the inside of that door. You do not grow up into salvation. You don't grow up into salvation. You don't progress into salvation. You hear the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died to save you from your sins. You believe upon him. You know this to be the truth. You recognize yourself to be a lost sinner and helpless without God. Then you make that step of faith, stepping into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the door, which is Jesus Christ. That door being the fact that he died on the cross, made an atonement for our sins with his own precious blood, and you step through that door, receiving him as your Savior. Not a religion, not a way of life, not a determination to do better, but Jesus Christ and him alone as the door of the sheep. And then you're instantly on the other side, and you are truly then a born-again child of God. Now, if Jesus is the door, then the next verse here is obvious. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The true sheep of God did not hear these thieves and robbers that came before and claimed to be God or Christ or claimed to be God's spokesman. Now, he said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, here we have a thought that will only take a moment to explain. This in and out speaks of the freedom of access and egress for the saint of God. That is the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly he's not talking about going in and out of salvation. Please don't for one moment think that Jesus is saying you're going in and out of salvation. There's no such thing as that. There are too many scriptures that tells us that salvation is eternal, eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that means forever, and there's no way you could lose that. But he does say, as we move in and out and have freedom of egress and access into the good things of God, we find pasture, food, peace, and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you can have it by trusting him as your Savior and as your Lord today.